You're listening to the Wally Show podcast. You can hear the live version every weekday morning through the WayFM app or following along with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
News can be a little heavy, so we like to do news-ish. Here's Betty.
I think most of us would agree that inflation on practically everything has made it hard for those in their 20s and maybe even early 30s to make it out on their own.
Oh, absolutely. Like, everything got more expensive. College got more expensive, especially. And you come out with a bunch of debt, and then what do you do? You know?
I found an article that claimed most parents with kids 35 years of age and under would allow their kids to move back in with them.
Really?
To get their feet back on the ground. But there would be a few ground rules put in place before coming back.
Okay, now I get this. My daughter came back after college. She lived with us for about 6 months before she started her job in Orlando. And I loved having her back with us. I mean, she's my little buddy. And so, like, it was great. But then also, I'm like, that's not all that healthy for you either. Like, I like the empty nest too, you know? And so I get it. If she ever needed it, yeah, she could come home tomorrow, but I want her to be on her own.
Yeah, but you may want to
I do have ground rules when she lived there. Let's see what you come up with and see if I set these same ground rules in place.
So the top ground rules parents thought should be established include, first, pay rent.
Okay, now, I did not make her pay rent because I knew it was a temporary situation and she was right out of college. So I was like, okay, just come home and regroup and then go out. If she came back, I'd have a problem with that. I'd probably, like, because you're trying to get them back on their feet, you know, and so they could save that.
Like, if they came home and instantly had a decent paying job or something where they could pay that rent, but until they could, would you let her just live rent-free?
Yeah, probably.
The second one was do at least some of the cooking and cleaning.
Absolutely. Like, in lieu of rent, it's like, hey, you're going to work this off. You know, like I did not make her do enough when she was in high school, chores-wise. She got a real light pass. And so, like, I would rectify that. I would make it so she would have motivation to move back out.
And last, have a job or at least be getting one.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, be looking for one.
Absolutely.
Actively looking for one. You can't just move back in with your parents, live in the basement, and not have a job and not even try.
Oh, absolutely, no. One thing I had that was weird with her was, not curfew, but she had to let me know where she was. Like, because I'm like, now you're at home. When you're living on your own, you're doing what you're going to do, and I can't do that, but if I know you're coming home, it's my responsibility to make sure you get home okay. And so I definitely had that with
and
her.
I had that too when I went back to my parents at 25.
Yeah.
And I was used to, for like 4 years, not having to tell anyone where I was.
Right.
But then I moved back in and my parents are like, could you just
text us?
Yeah, just let us know. I'm like, ugh.
I know. And like, and she would forget. And I'm like, this is simple common courtesy. Like, if you're coming home to my house, I need to know where you are. So if there's trouble, I can go get you.
I'm out.
Yeah, I know.
Moving out.
I know. I don't know if my daughter will ever move back in with me. Uplifting WayFM. This is the Wally Show, and I know that it all seems like an odd flex every time. I don't mention all the time.
No, I think you were right every time
when it comes up. Okay, that Carrie Underwood happens to go to the same church that we go to. All right, I've never talked to her, and the other day
that's rude.
I know that. I do wonder about that. I've always wondered about that. Like, if people are being kind and keeping their distance, if it seems off-putting. But she has her own group, like, you know, like higher than me.
You didn't make that.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I know that wasn't going to happen. So anyway, my wife has a bladder about the size of Gavin's. Okay? They both have tiny bladders. And so the other day, Carrie Underwood is walking past her. And my wife had kind of made eye contact with her because she saw her and she's like, okay, that's Carrie. And so, but then Carrie walks past her and my wife and Carrie are headed in the same direction walking out of the church, and then Carrie turns to use the restroom, and I just, my wife's like, oh. Because my wife needed to use the restroom.
Well, she could have gone in there.
That's what I said. But she was like, I made eye contact with her, and I didn't want her to think I was following her into the restroom to be a creepy stalker. And my wife, like, when she has to use the restroom, like, there's no, you don't have much time, you know? And so she's like, okay, we need to go to lunch quick now. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh,
I'm like,
my gosh.
Yeah, so we went to lunch, and then she bolted into that restroom. But she did not want to have an awkward encounter with Carrie. And I'm like, I don't think that would have been awkward. Girls go to the bathroom at the same time all the time.
Yeah, that's true, but it's with your designated bathroom buddy.
Yeah.
And Carrie Underwood isn't typically anyone's designated bathroom buddy.
No, that's got to be a lonely life when you think about it. If you're Carrie, like, no one wants to be my bathroom buddy.
That's
you
true.
Know?
But I'm sure that your wife is not alone. I know I've had my own awkward experiences when it comes to
celebrities.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's not alone. It's terrible.
All right, so 855-33-WAY-FM. Maybe this will make my wife feel better. Like, what was your most awkward celebrity encounter? Like, maybe you just totally blew it. Yeah, this, I've seen it happen to so many meet and greets when people, I've been in the line talking with them and they're waiting to meet like an artist that they love. Oh, it's great, I love it. And they get up, they're like, I like your songs. You know, they just lock up. Your song's good. Thank you very much. Yes. Me welcome. Like, they just, they forget how to talk. It's the funniest thing. So 855-33-WAY-FM. What is your most awkward celebrity encounter? We'll take them now. So what's your awkward encounter with a celebrity, Stephanie?
Oh, my encounter was with Matthew West. Our church was going to hear him, our youth group, and I got there before the group, and so I was on the row where our seats were reserved, and this man came up and sat down, or he was already sitting on the bench when I got there, and I thought, why is he in our chair? He's in our bench, you know, he's on our bench. And we were close to the back of the church, and he said, oh, I'm just sitting here watching the band. They used to play the bass for this band. And I said, oh, really? You know, and I had no clue who he was.
That's so funny.
And it came around to where he told me he was Matthew West, and I nearly died. I'm like, oh. I said, I've always heard you on the radio, but I didn't know what you looked like.
That's so, so funny. I'm glad you didn't say, yeah, I got, I'm glad you didn't say, yeah, I got drugged to this concert. I'm not even a fan.
Exactly.
Kathy, have you ever wanted to meet a celebrity or just kind of happenstance bumped into one and had an awkward encounter with them? I think that happens more often than not.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely awkward. I was out to eat at a restaurant with my friends and went to the bathroom line, and right in front of me was a guy that was a short stature, and he looked an awful lot like Robin Williams, and I just couldn't decide if it was him or not. And then he started talking, and I was like, oh my gosh, it really is. So, but I just didn't say anything. He was very nice and gracious and let me go to the bathroom ahead of him while I was waiting for my girlfriend to get out. And when she got out, she saw him and her face was like,
oh, wow. That's nice that he let you go before he went, literally. I got to interview Robin Williams years ago, and he stands out as one of my favorite interviews because he was just so bizarre and weird, but I like genuinely made him laugh, and that is like a highlight of my career. Is when he gut laughed at something I said. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was great.
And it wasn't a pity laugh?
No, it wasn't. It was one of those, you could tell it was one of those, like, oh my gosh, you just made me laugh.
He's a very gracious person. I could tell, like, he felt the awkwardness from me, and so he just kind of started to say stuff and be funny, like, you know, how he was.
I think his death hit me hard, him taking his own life as somebody who tries to spend their lives being funny, and he was like that funny on the outside but was kind of tortured inside. And I think that actually clicked with me, and it hit me hard.
Yeah, me as well, because I did have just that one encounter, although it's just a few moments in time. You know, I don't know for sure. Maybe I'm, you know, influenced by the things that happened, but I did get a sense of sadness just from the way that he looked.
That's probably because he really had to go, but he was being a gentleman and let you go first.
Like, make it quick.
Robin would have laughed at that joke. It's okay. Everyone, it's
he
okay.
He would have.
So, Carissa, have you ever had an awkward celebrity encounter?
Yes, I have, with Peter Fuller. He was on tour with Newsboys.
Sure, because he was like the original singer for the Newsboys. He was the small, bald-headed guy that wore eyeliner.
Totally, yes. But I did the VIP to meet with him and the band. And his energy always reminds me of my mother. Just so upbeat and positive. Well, my mom's, you know, 66, but she doesn't act 66. You know, that whole just life is vibrant and full and everything. So when I met him, I said, "You remind me of my mother." Yeah. Came out of my mouth.
That's so funny. Yeah, because if you had said, "Oh, your energy reminds me of my mother. She's so positive," totally different. Other than, "You remind me of my mother."
Yeah. Awkward.
Exactly.
Which I'm not sure is good for your mom, because is your mom short, bald, and wears eyeliner?
Not at all.
Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromise. The heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Uplifting Way FM.
If you're not careful, you might just learn something today.
Hey there. Is there a project you're working on?
I know more than you.
All right.
It's the Wally Show.
Kids can be a bit of a mystery, and the minute you think you've figured them out, everything changes. And teenagers especially seem to have this big mood swing capability. And as a parent, you want to help your kids. And so maybe knowing what they want might help you better serve them.
True.
You know, because I mean, that's how we look at things in business. You know, Do I know what my customer wants? If I do, I can serve them better. Same kind of thought here. So they asked a bunch of teens, what do they need from us as parents? And I thought this perspective might be beneficial to hear what other kids are saying. Because Sometimes you can find it hard to talk to your kids. So they said, we don't want you to fix us. We want you to listen. That was a big one. The number one thing. And that's what women want typically from men, and we try to fix everything. We're like, just hear me.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't want a solution. Right. You just want to be validated for your feelings.
That's exactly it, and that's what kids are saying. You know, it's a common mistake because parents, we want to offer solutions to help them navigate because we don't want them to hurt. It comes from the best place, but sometimes they're not interested in the solution. Mm-hmm. They just want you to hear them. They want to vent.
Yeah.
You know, and know that they're not crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Another one here was mental health isn't a phase. We're not just going to snap out of it. That's a tough one. That was a tough one for me with my own daughter, you know, because I'm like, I didn't raise you to have anxiety. You know, I raised you to not worry about life and to, you know, enjoy things. And so when you find out that she struggles with this, you're like, well, what did I do wrong? So then you take it all on yourself. And then that compounds the problem in dealing with her.
Yeah, like parents don't need to take it personal that their kids are dealing with anxiety or depression.
Because there's an element of, well, it's a phase, a snap out of it. You know, come on, toughen up. I mean, that's my generation. And so raising kids that are more in tune with their emotions can be a bit on the challenging side, because you've got to find that balance between tough love, because sometimes kids do need that, and compassion. And those can be tricky to navigate. One thing they said, you know, hey, this kind of dovetails with that. We're under a lot of pressure. Help lessen it. Don't pile on to it. Because kids feel everything a million times more than we do as adults. And they're small things to us comparatively, but they feel it a million times, you know?
Right. And that's where the role of the parent comes in. Like, you have to teach them what the right perspective is. You have to teach them what counts, what doesn't count, kind of thing. But also just listening to them. Like you were saying earlier, like validating, hey, I know it seems tough right now, but this isn't going to be forever.
Right.
Kind of
and
thing.
You're going to have pressure the rest of your life. So the sooner you learn to adjust to it and deal with it, the better off you're going to be.
But also knowing that you can create a trusting relationship and one where they feel safe, I think that's very important.
There are a couple more I want to get to. I'm running short on time, but there are a couple more I want to get to. So if you're kind of wrestling through some things with your teen, you might want to hang out 10 minutes to hear the end of this thing. We'll do that in 10 on the Wally Show. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. And if you want to know more about your client, you would talk to them, find out what their needs are, and then you want to better serve their needs. And why would our kids be any different? So I found this article about things that kids are asking from their parents, you know, because it's hard to understand them all the time. And some of the things are like, we don't want you to fix us, we just want you to listen. Mental health isn't a phase that I'm just going to snap out of. One of these here was mental health is as important as physical health to them. That's a way different mindset than my generation, for sure.
But I think you would agree that your generation, you know, growing up, you didn't have some of the things that this current generation are dealing with, like social media.
Oh, yeah.
Really welcomes a lot of negativity in your life.
Absolutely. And unlike generations like mine, they are more attuned to the fact that mental health and physical health go hand in hand, and they're more willing to do things to protect their mental health. Whereas my generation has a back burner, don't worry about it, and just get the job done or what have you, you know? Mm. And so two different approaches, and sometimes those worlds don't fully intersect.
Right.
This was interesting, though. It said, it helps when you show understanding and positivity to reinforce our efforts. And this is one, I think, that requires balance, okay? You have to have things within reason. I don't subscribe to telling your kids that whatever they're feeling or doing is okay, you know, because that's not healthy for them, because there are things that they might be feeling or doing that's not healthy long term, you know, and so you have to balance their feelings with your wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like, I know gender is a big discussion that some parents struggle with their kids, you know, and you know, well, it's how you feel. It must be okay. And as a parent, if my kid came to me and said, you know, hey, I'm dealing with suicidal thoughts, I wouldn't say, oh, that's okay. You just feel that way. It's fine. You just, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, hey, well, this is not healthy, and let's figure out what's going on. What's the cause of this? What's the root, so that we can help you navigate this better, you know, in a healthy way, because your feelings will lie to you, man.
But I think to start that conversation, you have to have built a good foundation, solid foundation, where they feel like they can trust you, that they feel loved no matter what that comes out of their mouth.
Absolutely. And part of that is building that space where they can talk to you. There's things that I tell Betty that my daughter and I have had conversations about. She's like, I would never talk to my parents about that, you know, but we had that kind of a relationship from the beginning, you know. It's way more open than I wanted to be sometimes, you know, and way too emotional. But we built that ground so that we can have some pretty tough conversations for sure. But maybe these things will help you if you're kind of navigating that teenage world and just taking it from their perspective. Maybe look at it like business. Like, all right, if this was my client, how would I serve them best? And maybe that'll help you kind of take it out of the emotional parent-kid phase and actually let you troubleshoot a little bit.
Where'd you hear that?
The internet.
And you believed it?
Yeah, they can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. I do not trust the internet as far as I could throw it. There's a lot of stuff on there, and I like to talk to real people. Yes, you can Google things, but I want to Google things. I want people that have actually had experience with stuff and some real knowledge, okay? First-hand knowledge. So here's the situation I need Googled right now. Recently, I went out and was rebuilding my deck. I pushed myself to my limits. It was super hot. I lost 5 pounds in one day.
And you didn't drink an adequate amount of water.
I thought I was. I thought I was drinking a lot of water. But apparently there's a lot of water in me that came out. and so, like, I am just a dehydrated shell of myself.
Hmm.
And so I lost all of that weight. And I don't know anything about water weight. You know, I know, like, wrestlers or boxers will go sweat themselves to make their weight cut off, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, it has to come back, right? Like, how does water weight work? If I lost that, does my body replenish it over the next couple weeks and all of a sudden here it all is back again and I undid what I had done?
Maybe so, because I know, like, your body needs water. What, yeah. What is it that they say? Like, it's 80% water?
Something like something, that. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you lost 5 pounds due to a lack of water, your body is in definite need of water. So maybe those 5 pounds, you know, yeah, like you said, where does it go? I guess you sweated it out.
Yeah.
But then through drinking more water or Coke in your situation, right, you'll get that water weight back.
Because I'm not sure what's going on because I can't spit or cry.
oh my gosh.
I might be in trouble here.
Yeah,
now.
Just a little.
No, like I feel fine. Everything's great. And I weighed myself like the next day after I had drank and eaten like fully that day, and I weighed the exact same. So, like, the water weight did not come back. Mm. And I'm like, hey, like, but, or, like, am I gonna, all of a sudden, I'm gonna wake up on Saturday and be like, why do I feel like my body's a waterbed? Like, like, it all came back plus some, okay?
So, we need a nutritionist.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Exactly. Somebody that works out, you know, somebody that spent time trying to understand the body and water, because I do not know what's going on. And so, if you have ever had these same kind of questions or could shed some insight into water weight and where it goes and how it comes back, I'd love to know. 855-33-WAY-FM. If you're that person like that's sitting around the table and you just find yourself talking about water weight and everyone's like, oh, here Rick goes again. All right, Rick, thanks. Okay, that's enough talk of water weight at the table. No, you're going to be celebrated today. You're going to finally find your purpose in life. And it was this moment, you know, to share with me about water
wow,
weight.
Wow, who knew? Yeah,
crazy, right? 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. I made myself laugh. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I could use your help Googling this right now. How does this whole thing work, Terry?
On your water weight, a couple of issues on it. One, in extreme heat and exertion, you can lose 2 liters of water an hour, but the body can only take in 1 liter. So you're always going to be a deficit in heavy work. But as far as the water you've lost, if without being too gross.
Okay, this is that part about your tinkle and, like, you know, the color. So, like, if it's clear,
then you're okay. If it's real dark, then you are dehydrated and you need to increase your water intake to get it back where it needed to be.
Oh, okay. Well, I need more water then, apparently. Not to be gross also.
Well, and that was TMI for me, too.
Ron, what are your thoughts, man?
Hey, I'd say celebrate and have a piece of cake.
Thank you, Ron. That's really what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for
actual. You earned it. You lost the 5 pounds. You worked your hiney off. You might as well celebrate.
Exactly. And I'm not looking for it to come back like in the form of water. If I'm going to get those 5 pounds back, I want it in the form of cake. You're absolutely right.
Heck yeah. That's what I'd do.
A friend of mine came over to my house the other day with his 8-year-old and 5-year-old, and I blew their minds. Hey, it's Wally. I took a bunch of coins from our change jar and buried them in the backyard. We then used a metal detector to find buried treasure. I have never seen 2 kids freak out that much in their lives. They thought they found pirate treasure. Well, recently I went on my own treasure hunt, and I was just as excited. I talked to United Faith Mortgage about doing a cash-out refinance, and this is where you take some of the equity that's buried in your house, much like a pirate treasure chest, and you turn it into cash to use however you want. And with home prices being so high all across the country, you could have quite a little treasure on your hands. But the secret to any good treasure hunt is the map, and my friends at United Faith Mortgage know how to help you find the X that marks the spot. You could use your treasure to fix up your house, start a home business, pay off some bills, or have some cash for a rainy day. So talk to United Faith Mortgage to find your home's buried treasure. United Faith Mortgage. Start online, call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
It's today's Music Insider with Gavin.
TMI, my friends.
Earlier this year, the band Big Daddy Weave, who you know for their song, I Know.
I know that you are good. I know that you are kind.
Unfortunately, earlier this year, they lost their bassist, Jay Weaver. He's the brother of the band's lead singer, Mike Weaver. And then, you know, fast forward 8 months, they've been going out on tour. They actually went on tour just about 3 months after that happened. And it was interesting because they posted this video where Mike Weaver, and it was on their Instagram, Mike Weaver was explaining kind of how it was for them going out on tour for the first time since his brother passed.
In the spring, then when we went out, you know, this is the first time we've ever done this really without him in that way. We also encountered so many other people who were dealing with that, that they had lost someone close to them. Yeah. After some time spent grieving some of that, I feel like this is a new season. And we just have a sense of the fact that, you know, today is a brand new beginning.
I think when you see somebody that you, you know, look up to, like people in the audience that go and see Mike Weaver and Big Daddy Weave play after they know the story of his loss, I think it gives them hope, because a lot of times we all go through the similar circumstances. Yeah. They're all a little bit different, but we go through the same things. And so I know there are people in that crowd that had probably recently lost somebody, and to see somebody having hope in the midst of the hurt, I am sure is super therapeutic for people.
Yeah, and I'm sure that even their music was probably therapeutic for them as well, because a lot of the messages in their music is built on hope, and that was a time that they needed hope. And to have that knowledge that, oh, you know, I know where my brother went, instead of, oh, just, you know, sulking into sadness, they can turn that into another piece of their story.
Exactly. And that's why we share our stories, because they can have a really positive and profound effect on other people. So that's going to do it for your TMI. Thank you, Gavin. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and it's good to have, like, accountability people in your lives that will help keep you square, but sometimes you resent them for that. Like, I dropped a few pounds, I was, like, feeling pretty good about it. I'm like, you know, I just kind of said, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, not eat as much, or, like, not do as much junk food or what have you. And so I came back into the studio the other day, and Gavin had stopped at Buc-ee's, which, if you've never experienced Buc-ee's, glorious.
So good.
And they have this cotton candy taffy that we all love. And so Gavin was kind enough to bring some back. So I was like, yeah, I'm limiting how much I eat of this. And I'd already had a piece or two at 5 a.m. and so it's like, it's a couple hours later, and I roll into the studio, and Betty just looks at me and goes, so how's the cotton candy? I'm like, whatever you mean. Very coy.
Because the smell is so strong on you.
There's so much of it.
Yeah, it's like I bathed in it. But yeah, she could smell it on me. She's like, I smell the cotton candy toffee on your breath. I'm like, no.
You can't hide it.
No. She has a very sensitive sniffer. Yeah, so there it was. And I was caught red-handed. And so I am curious, though, okay? It's kind of like that kid that's standing there with a face full of chocolate. And they're like, did you eat the cake, Johnny? No. You know, and you're like, you know, they did, you know. So I am curious, though, how did you catch your kid at something? Because sometimes kids think they're getting away with the world, and they think they're really sly, and then they forget, oh, wait, my parent was once a kid, too, and knows these tricks. And so I'm real curious. Maybe it was super low-tech, like Betty Rock just smelling my breath, or maybe it was a high-tech thing, but a way that you caught your kid trying to get away with something. I'm curious if that's ever happened. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's how you can always be on the show. We love having you on. Love talking to you about your life. 855-33-WAY-FM. If you got a story, we will take it now. Have you ever caught your kids? Yeah, exactly. Busted. So have you ever caught your kid doing something that they thought they were going to get away with?
Oh, yeah. I got a teenage son, and, you know, he's getting to that dating age. Well, he's planning this, going to a play at one of the high schools, and he's been planning it for a week and asking for rides and needing a couple bucks to get in and all this stuff. And, you know, there's only one reason a high school kid is going to a play.
Absolutely. Yeah, so he wanted to meet some girl there. Absolutely.
Yes, but, you know, the whole time it was a secret, and, you know, you're going to a play. I know there's something behind going to a play.
Exactly. You're like, that's how your mother trapped me. So, Kathy, have you ever caught your kid doing something they thought they were going to get away with?
Oh, yeah. I've got three teenage boys. The oldest one, he tried to take his girlfriend home one night. Of course, he's 15 years old. only has a learner's permit. Get in the car the next morning, and he's 6'2", so the front seat is all the way back, which I'm not that tall. Half a tank of gas, and the hood's up because he didn't know how to open the gas tank. So he opened the hood, didn't know how to put the hood down. So evidence was all over, but no, not him. He's 15. Why would he do that?
So deny is what he did?
Yeah, and then finally when he realized...
When he realized your side hustle is a CSI agent and you've put all the clues together and found him with the smoking gun.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he finally asked me how you put the trunk down, so I had to give him a lesson in how to work my car. So it was all good.
All right, Narissa, you're up. How did your kid try to pull one over on you?
So we had bought a homemaking glow-in-the-dark slime kit for the kids. I don't know why we did that to begin with, but
yeah, that's kind of sounds like a mess waiting to happen.
So we had, you know, very clear rules. You're not allowed to touch it until we can both be here and do it with you. Well, we come home and we can see that the box is taken apart, and my husband goes into the bathroom and the light is off and everything is glowing everywhere. So we knew, obviously, where it had been made and everything. So we call the kids out and we start asking them, like, who did it? Who was messing with it? And nobody's telling us anything. So he says, you know what? Go stand in the bathroom for me and turn the light off. So they walk in there and they're looking at him like he's crazy. Like, why are you asking us to do this? So he turned the light off and there is glow stuff everywhere. And he says, all right, put your hands up. And they look at him and they both put their hands up. And my daughter had green glow everywhere all over her.
That is so great. At that point, it's weird. Like, you're like, I'm really mad, but I'm super proud of my creativity.
Right.
I want to celebrate this.
I know. I told him, I said, wow, I didn't even think of that. You did it so quick.
What does he do for a living?
He does IT.
Oh, really? Okay. So he's not like a cop or something, you know?
No. No, but I'm sure that he thinks he's one of the best detectives out there if you ask him.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting YFM, this is The Wally Show. A little good news, giddy up. Three rapid-fire good news stories designed to make you feel better about the world you're living in because it can be a little heavy sometimes. So, Betty Rock, what's some good news?
A 50-year-old guy, only 50 years old, he collapsed while he was riding his bike earlier in the summer and his heart stopped. Yeah. But luckily, it happened 50 feet from a lifeguard station. So they were able to do CPR for 12 minutes. 12 minutes.
Wow,
which is
that's
crazy.
A lot.
They shocked him twice with a defibrillator and they saved his life.
Wow. And they probably would have saved him faster, but they had to slow motion run that 50 feet to get him like in Baywatch. got there. But that's good news for him for sure. Gavin, good news, giddy up, go.
There was an Amazon driver in Florida that saw smoke coming from a house and she called 911. Because of her, firefighters got there just in time to put out the fire and save three Boston Terrier puppies that were inside.
The puppies are saved!
They're alive! Yay!
There you go. This is really cool. There's an Ohio-based chain restaurant called Hot Chicken Takeover, and they attempt to hire people kind of looking for a fresh start because of incarceration, drug addiction, or homelessness. And one of the owners kind of explained how this really is a win-win strategy.
I believe in the power of a job to be a meaningful pathway forward for somebody. We're often kind of anecdotally seeing team members that needed fair chance consideration rising at a faster rate within the company and with a much deeper commitment to our company values and the support of their peers.
I love this because the rate of recidivism is so high for people coming out of prison because a lot of times they can't get jobs. And if you can't get jobs, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them go back to crime or you live off of the, you know, the government assistance. And so these guys are giving people a second chance. And what I love what they're finding is that those people turn into be great employees when you bet on somebody.
Yep.
and you give them a chance where maybe no one else would. They turn out to be these amazing people. So that's awesome, and that is definitely some good news we could use today. Being the parent of like a little kid, I think has gotten a lot harder than when I was raising my daughter. She's 23 now, and I got to tell you, the decisions you have to make and the things you have to monitor and protect your children from today has gotten a lot harder. What do you give them that's still entertaining, but also aligns with your values? You know, we've talked about WayFM being a product that you don't have to filter, but like if you got Netflix in your house, you got to have the filter on.
And even Disney Plus, you have the same problem.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Disney Plus has been disappointing to me as a parent. and some of the things they've chose to put on there. And like, you got to watch it, you know? And that's why it's so nice to have something. If I was raising little kids, I would do PureFlix subscription, man, because you've got content on there that you're not having to filter out. And as a parent, I mean, I know we want to be involved in our kids' lives, but sometimes you need to park them in front of the TV and take 10 minutes to yourself. That's why PureFlix is a great option for families. You got family stuff, obviously. They're even dabbling in some drama. Yes, and PureFlix originals. Like, I saw the movie on their Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and I have to tell you,
you cried.
I did. There was three times. Not once, three times.
I did.
I wept, and I was moved, and it was a great movie. And I think if I was raising my child now, I think PureFlix would be definitely a part of my family's entertainment plan.
So if you'd like to try PureFlix out, text PURE, that's P-U-R-E, to get your 1 week free trial. Faith and Family Entertainment with no ads on your favorite devices.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
Back in the late 90s and early 2000s, the Backstreet Boys, they were the biggest thing around with teen girls.
Everybody. And some men.
Rock out by.
I did like this song, but I was not allowed to because I was a hair metal guy, you know, but this one was kind of catchy. I'll admit it.
I wasn't a Backstreet girl.
Yeah.
I was an NSYNC girl.
I know you were, and I don't blame you. So was I, you know.
Wait. Well, some 20 years later, and the boys, or what I would like to call men, since they are now in their 40s and 50s,
wow,
are still releasing new music, like the Christmas album set to hit the shelves this holiday season. It'll include a Christmas classic originally made popular in the 80s, by another boy band, Wham, called Last Christmas.
I don't know that they were considered a boy band back in the day. They were a duo, and they were already kind of men, you know, like Wham.
I Googled them, and it says boy band.
No, that I disagree.
You want to die on this hill about whether Wham is a boy group or not?
I understand it.
Let's go.
Can we do this? Can we compare them? Because Last Christmas by Wham is kind of, it's become like a Christmas classic.
It is.
Like, that's one of the best versions of this song. So can we compare the two versions?
Yeah. So I have the original.
Okay, so this is Wham in their Last Christmas, debatable boy band.
Last Christmas, I gave
boy
you my
band
heart.
For sure.
The next day, you gave it away.
Okay, so the oh, there you go. It's George Michael. Okay, so now this is gonna be the Backstreet Boys.
Yep.
Last Christmas,
oh. I feel like someone just kidney punched me with mistletoe or something. Like, this is horrible.
So you like, oh.
No, this
What's
is horrible.
What's wrong with it?
No, it's not as good as the original, man. The original is still the best.
Like, oh, I agree. I always agree with the original. Yeah, but the Backstreet Boys, that's not too bad of
So,
an
Gavin,
offer.
You like this?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Like, I could see myself being very cheery to that at Christmas time.
Well, I guess we all want Christmas cheer, but that is pushing it a little too far. I don't think we need more of that in our lives. Just give me Wham.
We need more Wham.
Okay, I know how that sounds when you say it, but... Uplifting Way FM, it's the Wally Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tammy.
What's up, Tammy?
I am just calling about the whole Wham being a boy band debate.
Okay, thank you. And I hope you'll shed some light on this, because I do not think that Wham is a boy band by any stretch of the imagination. Betty Rock called them a boy band. I think a boy band,
That's
you have to have
Google
five guys.
Says.
You got to have five guys to be a boy band. Am I right, Tammy?
You have to have definitely more than two.
Yeah.
And I will agree. Usually I'm with Betty Rock when you all have debates, but this time I'm going with you, Wally.
But this time you're right. Okay, good.
Yes. But no, Wham definitely is a duo, and they were grown men. So
yeah, absolutely. Tammy has interjected some common sense and intellect into this conversation.
And George Michael would never be in a boy band.
No, absolutely not.
I, You want to die on this hill, Holly.
I do. I stand by all of this.
You could go on any hill and rant, yeah. But this one is the one you want to choose.
Absolutely. Because a boy band, by definition, is five people. You've got the cute one. You've got the dangerous, troubled one. You've got the one that everyone forgets. And I can name who all these people are in these bands, too,
of course,
sadly.
You can.
I think Tammy is absolutely right. Thank you, girl.
You're welcome.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and Betty Rock was recently telling me a story about going out with her friends, and it was just a different kind of experience than it had been in the past for you.
Yes, and I'm now in my 30s, and back in my 20s, loud music never bothered me. If anything, I welcomed it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's too loud, you're too old. That's the rule I live by.
Right. But I'm starting to realize my age is catching up with me because over the weekend we went to a birthday party, and the place that the birthday party was at, the music was extremely loud to the point where we were all yelling at each other because we were trying to have a conversation, but you can't hear each other over the music.
At some point, did you go find a manager? Sir, it is so loud in here. I cannot even hear my friends or myself think.
I didn't want to be the Karen in the situation.
Did you?
No, okay. I didn't. And plus, too, this was a hipster place. Mm-hmm. Like, it was meant for people in the younger generation that enjoy this kind of thing. And I guess I just realized I'm done with this.
Yeah, you're like, done just going out.
This chapter of my life, I'm done with.
You know what? I think that's healthy when you realize certain things like that. And you move forward instead of trying. You see too many people trying to recapture their youth, you know, in some ways. And it's okay to just be done.
Yeah, like I just, if I'm there with a friend, I want to be able to have a conversation.
I get
Is that too much to ask?
I actually don't think so. Yeah, like there's certain things that you want to just, like we went to a pizza place the other day. And I love this pizza place. But they decided to hire like a one-man band, and you're just like, ugh. And I don't mind music. I love music. I play it every day. But I'm like, I wanted to just talk with my friends at that point and catch up. I didn't want bad versions of Piano Man, you know.
And so,
Mr. Piano Man. Yeah. So I totally get you being done.
All right. No, seriously. I think I'm done.
All right. So what is that thing like Betty Rock? She's just done. She's done going out and, you know, trying to live in her 20s and to loud places. Loud music. It's horrible.
These young folks. Yeah, young whippersnappers.
What is that thing, though, that you realize? You know what? I'm just done with. For me, it's exercise. It's not going to get any better.
You never started.
I was done when I was 8. You know, so 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take your I done's right now.
What is that thing you're just done with?
Well, I'm done with the whole going swimming, going to the beach, hanging out in your swimsuit. I'm done.
I get it. Like, yeah. I lived at the beach when I was a kid. Loved it. But now, sand is an irritant, you know?
Yes, sand is bad.
Sandra, what is the thing that really led you to this realization?
I guess my age and my body's just, it can't lie anymore. My body is just done with the swimsuit thing. It's not happening ever again.
So what is TikTok and how do you use it?
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and Betty Rock can spend a few hours on TikTok from time to time, and she's not alone. Like, I'm right there with her. I was just on it a second ago.
Right.
I love cute cat videos, sue me.
Yes.
But you found something that is making the rounds.
Yeah, so there's this audio that's really popular right now, and it's of this kid talking about corn, and
you're
like, what's going on? Yeah, you're a big fan of corn. So what it is it came from this account. They're called Kid. Oh, wait a minute. I have it right here in front of me. I can't remember the name of it. But anyways, what they did was they're in South Dakota. They went to this fair and they bumped into this little kid, Tariq, and he was eating an ear of corn on a stick. You know, like
you
typically see at a fair. Yeah. But they just go around with a microphone asking kids questions. Well, they asked Tariq what he felt about corn, and this is what they got.
Can you describe corn to someone who's never tasted it before?
A big lump with knobs. It has the juice.
It's okay.
It was just so cute because he's missing teeth and he's just all about corn. Like, it's so
great to him. As he eats a row of corn, there's always one little strand still left there because of his gap. Yes. Yeah.
So you know how 2022 does it, or the internet does it. They took the audio from that interview and they made it into a song. And just the other day, I caught Gavin singing it at his desk because it's so catchy.
It's called a good corn that knocks. It has the juice.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
I tried it with butter. Everything changed.
So yeah, cute. I'm not mad at that at all.
And everybody loves it. I mean, I love it. And it's so viral right now that even celebrities are hearing it as well. Kevin Bacon is one of those.
Oh, really?
So Kevin Bacon, he recently posted this video of him singing that song, the Corn Kid song, I guess is what you want to call it, but acoustically.
Oh, that's artsy. I like it.
It's corn. Big lump with knobs, it has the juice. I mean, look at this thing, it's corn. I can tell you all about it. And when I tasted it with butter, everything changed. Cause it's corn.
You know what? I wasn't 100% sure what I was having for dinner tonight, but now I know. I'm having rice. Why would you say corn?
Well, the podcast is over, but there's still the Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.